Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
It's Mike Shope.
It's nothing you did.
It's not you, it's me.
It's not you, it's you, but you didn't cross me.
And the Bulldog.
Why did I choose? Why did I just stay in school?
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Yeah, I admit I'm feeling a little bit of that today. Sabres wrap up a 13th consecutive season outside of the postseason tonight in Tampa. They've already announced that coach and GM will be made available to the media on Friday to discuss how the season went and the way forward, and that feels to me like it's not actually an official announcement that they're not making any change at either spot, coach or GM, but I'm not sure how I'm taking it. I will gladly eat the crow or my hat or whatever, whatever symbolically would be me admitting this was a horrible read by me. But I just don't think in pro sports you announce that the coach and GM are going to be holding an end of season news conference with the media 4 days after the season has concluded if they're not going to be in the jobs moving forward. That's my read of it. So I'm taking the announcement today from the Sabres that those men are going to be meeting with the media on Friday morning as confirmation that they're not making a change. And I've been very worried that that was going to be the case. I've said for months here, I'm just going to need to see them do it before I'm ready to believe that they're actually going to make a change at coach. I think it's been warranted since Christmas. They chose, obviously they disagree. I don't think that there's a whole lot of variety in what should be done, could be done, or will be done to the roster. Recognizing, of course, that they could make a massive Calgary Florida Panthers type trade or something, but I don't know. I'm not really eager to dive into any of that either, because I feel like the key people in all that would all be, I'd be selling low on everyone because they've all had pretty tough years to some extent. And I still believe in a lot of the talent. I think I need a different coach to unlock them. That's where I've been for months here. And so I'm kind of demoralized about that. That's one issue we've been talking about today. Lines are open at 803-0550 if you'd like to share your thoughts on that. Also, of course, talking about the draft in the NFL. We are closing in on a week away. Thursday, a week from Thursday is when the draft will take place. We will have our big draft special for you on Thursday afternoon. Nate Geary, Sal Capaccio, Sneaky Joe, Jeremy, I know these are all people you hear generally from. They'll all be a part of our two-hour Facebook Live, StreamYard, wherever. We'll be out there in video formats, so get ready to look at our ugly mugs if you're so inclined. So we're talking about the draft, too, and the Bills finding their way to replacements for their top two outside receivers who both have left this offseason. Gabe Davis via free agency to Jacksonville, and then just a little more than a week and a half ago, the Bills traded Stephon Diggs, of course, to Houston. 803-0550, your idea to replace Diggs and or Davis. We're talking about that, too, as we go here. 803-0550 is the number. Let's fire it up. Eric is first up this segment. Hi, Eric. Thank you for calling. You're on the air here on WGR.
Hey, Bulldog. How's it going, man?
Great.
Well, I'm going to do my best to be short and try to speak for kind of the hardcore Sabre fan. So I know that Granato is mostly expected to be back. And Friday in the press conference, they're probably going to lead with injuries that a lot of the key guys were either hurt or missed time or banged up. And my problem with that is that even the bad teams don't go down 2-0, 3-0 in the first 7-8 minutes of games 25 times in the season. Even the bad hurt teams don't go down, get blown off the ice,
yeah,
you know, at home by like Ottawa, you know, even Columbus.
Columbus, right, right.
You know, it is very obvious that, you know, obviously the players have spoken that they love Granato, that they're very tight with him, but clearly something isn't working.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the frustration that I think everybody has, especially the people who are paying money to go to the games, is like, it's pro sports. I mean, you're trying to tell people that going down 5-6 goals at home to Ottawa or Columbus is, like, okay, and we're just going to roll with it. Like, you can't blame that on injury. So, I don't know. Like, they better have something pretty compelling to tell us on Friday. Otherwise, I just don't even know where to go from here. I will hang up and listen. Thanks, Bulldog.
Okay, yeah. I'm dreading Friday. I can't imagine what we're going to hear that is going to be encouraging. I really don't. I don't think they'll sit down and try to make excuses. So I'm not sure what Friday will look nor sound like. But Adams and Granato are going to speak. I believe the way that the email reads is that's going to be separate. I don't think they're appearing together. Granato is at 10 and Adams at 10:30 is the way I read the information that came out today. And so I'm taking that as all but an announcement that they're proceeding ahead with this coach. I could be wrong about that, and if I'm misleading all of you in the process, I will humbly apologize when the time is right. But I don't know. It's part of the reason why someone like Mike, when he would be here, he's off today, saying like they just have to. What are they gonna? The building's half empty. They've been in the playoffs in 13 years. You can't just status quo your way into a new season. How are you gonna sell that, right? And I'm over here going, I know that's gonna be really hard. But until I see them do it, I thought it was warranted at Christmas time. And look, I'm not a ghoul. Like, I have an in for Granato. I've liked him. It just isn't working. The point about the starts of games is so 100% correct. And yes, of course the players will tell you they like him. They probably even privately like him. I'm not even being skeptical about that. Is it working? You know? I need Mike here to don't tell me about your feelings. Like, I'm a big feelings guy. I like that they like their coach. Is it working? I've had a number of bosses in my professional career, and I would tell you I've liked all of them. I don't think I connected with them all the same way. I think that there were times where I think I needed a different voice, and then, you know, somehow or another, events conspired and we got it. And like, good, okay, let's try the new guy. Good. Not that I had a problem or anything with the other boss. It just wasn't going as well, even though I liked the guy. You know what I mean? Like, it's not about liking and even respecting. It's like, is it working? Is what he is instructing you to do coming off in such a way that you know how to do your job? Kevin Adams has told us a few different times, he's used the phrasing, if you're caught in between in this league, you're dead. The caught in between is instinctually on the ice being conflicted about whether to go on offense. This can be, you know, aggressive on the forecheck, pinching on the walls for a defenseman in the offensive zone, or being more responsible and getting back and making a safer play. And the dilemma for a player is to just be able to react and just do the right thing. And what I think the Sabres have been caught in between largely for two seasons running, between go, 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 go offense. We've got all this high-end skill and responsible, stop giving up two-on-ones and odd man rushes and support your goaltenders. And look, you got to be able to do both things. The best teams in the league can do both things effectively. For some reason, we can't seem to find a happy medium. And it's been 2 years of trying. I just don't get it. I just don't get it. Last year, I think, continuing with Granato, the progress that was made, the learning curve for guys dealing with the pressure, being in the heat of a playoff race, the goaltending, all of it, add it all up. Like, okay, you know what? I give you the benefit of the doubt here. I think you made progress. You got in a race. Hopefully everybody learned enough from it that the next time you're in this situation, I won't be hearing about the growing pains and guys need to learn how to deal with the pressure. And then we got into the middle of this season and it was the same damn conversation again about pressure and expectations. And I mean, what are we doing here? It's maddening. 803-0550 is the number. Sabres, Bills, you get the idea. Tom is up next. Hi, Tom. Thanks for calling. You're on WGR.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. So I'm wondering with the Bills, is this like 2021 where we can go back-to-back wide receivers in round one and two? I think we probably need to do it. We mean we've done it before with defensive ends, so mm-hmm. Why not try to do it again and grab like a speedster and then a possession guy or vice versa?
I think that's a great idea. It's one spot where, to me, not having that third round pick really stings. But you're right. They did do this. They identified defensive end as a need after they lost to the Chiefs in the 2020 AFC Championship game. And yeah, that's right. They doubled down. They got Rousseau in round one and then Boogie Basham in round two. Basham has since been moved on. But they did it. They double dipped at a position that they perceived as a need. I think you can look at this receiver room and say, well, it's not the only need. Funny enough, edge is also, I think, up there on the list of needs. But I thought for a while, you know, if you don't want to go big with your first pick and just stay put, you know, a way to make me feel better about that is the double dip. But not having that third is tough. I feel like, you know, if they'd gone first and third, like I could stump for that. I could see them doing that. I don't know if they'll go twice in a row. They could. I think they almost definitely some way, somehow will draft two receivers in this draft. I think one on Thursday and it, you know, maybe, you know, they don't do what the caller's suggesting, then you're into Saturday anyway. They only have that one second-round pick, unless they move around some, and we'll see. But I think two receivers in this draft class is definitely warranted. Ron is up next. Hi, Ron. Thanks for calling. You're on WGR.
Hey, Bulldog. Nice talking to you again. I'm looking at the Sabres. I'm looking at the Sabres and say, you know what? Granato, I guess he's going to be back. If they change the assistant coaches, that's going to be really good because the power play is not run by Granato. So get a coach, get a really solid power play coach. I don't know if Ellis ever played on a power play in his career, and I know that doesn't always translate to coaching, mm-hmm. but if they get someone that's a good assistant, strong assistant coach to help them, that will be a big difference. I think assistants are just as important as the head coach in a lot of ways. And I would not be surprised to see if Adams is promoted up to maybe Poho and Carmona to GM. And lastly, I would like to see them trade their first-round pick and either Kulik or Savoy for a top player. I think that we cannot bring every young kid up. We cannot draft every player. We have a lot in the cupboard. Start using some of that currency for ready-made players, if that makes sense. And I'll hang up and listen. Hey, thank you for Saturday. Have a great day.
Oh, all right, Ron. Sure. That's Ron put together a media event and a fundraiser that I was a part of on Saturday. I was very happy to be a part of that, even though I did not really have a great grasp of the rules of how to play Family Feud, and I was the host. So that was a little awkward. But yeah, I'm being a little maybe hard on myself. You know, whatever's fun. It really felt great to be there, and I appreciated the invite. So thank you for mentioning that, Ron. Sure, different assistant coaches. I think the point about the roster and the pipeline is a very good one. What I'm stuck with, though, is the ability to make that happen. Players have no move clauses and no trade clauses, and free agents have a choice of where they're going to go. And despite the Sabres, I think, sort of working to change how they're perceived around the league, last year I think did them a lot of good, and there was some change there. I think Adams has even spoken about that, like, he felt it was starting to change the reputation of the organization, and like, hey, a lot of good young guys here, and maybe some older, older established guys want to be a part of it, and it's a good thing going. I feel like this year undid that. Paul and I have talked about this a few times. We'll probably bring it up when he joins me in about 40 minutes for the start of Sabres pregame show. I think they've undone that goodwill. So I don't know. Like, you want to go get Steven Stamkos in free agency? I mean, I don't know how many teams will be in line for his services, but it's going to be more than one if he even gets out of Tampa, and he's going to pick me on the basis of what, it's closer to Toronto. I know that was like 7 or 8 years ago when he was about to be a free agent. That was the dream, right? Like, he wants to be close to home. Parents are on the Niagara Peninsula or something, like, hey. I don't know now. That all could still be true. But I think getting guys to want to come be a part of this gets harder with every year you miss the playoffs. And if you miss the playoffs in a league where coaches pay the extreme price for that constantly in season and when seasons end, and I'm a 28-year-old hockey player and I'm trying to figure out where to continue my career, and the Buffalo Sabres call, I'm going to call up some of my friends and be like, what do you think of them not changing the coach? I don't know what's going on there. Why are they're just like treading water, or worse. I don't want any part of that. I just think it'd be really hard to put together, the trades you need to make the roster overhaul have any kind of a foothold here. But they have so many. This is where I like the point. I kind of got sidetracked myself there from Ron's call. They've got a lot of the same kind of guy. They've got high-end skill guys, which is great. It's good to have the highest-rated pool of prospects in the league at your disposal. But I've got Thompson on a lifetime contract. I've got Cousins on a lifetime contract. Paterka and Quinn, I know everything seems bad, but there's a guy, Paterka especially, who broke through this year. And I think that's going to continue. He's there. Quinn's there. Despite the injuries, I'm still pretty bullish on him. Skinner's contract is an immovable object. But where am I putting Savoy and Kulik and other offensively talented players? This team needs some 6'3" defensive forwards, maybe, that aren't named Gergensons. That's maybe more what I need. But I've got this stockpile of dudes who all should be playing in the top six eventually, and I'm not going to have room for them all. So you got to get busy somehow weaponizing that. I'm just not really sure what the next move is. Just part of the reason I end up at the coach being replaced as the move this offseason is I'm not really sure what I would do. If I had at my disposal everything that Kevin Adams knows and all the phone numbers and the wherewithal to do what I felt like I wanted to do to the roster, I honestly am not sure what the hell I would do first. Because I don't think there's an easy answer. I don't think there's like a ready-made, sensible call. Your good players that you're committed to all had down years, Do you want to move them off of those years? You could. You better be getting top of the lineup $8 million hockey players back if you do that. So I got to find the right match for that. Good luck with that. And so I'm just sort of stuck. I feel like the only change that could be affected almost effortlessly would be to change the coach. And I don't think they're going to choose to do that because of the announcement today about them meeting with the media on Friday morning. 803-0550 is the number. It's tangled, I know, but I'm trying my best to untangle it. Talking about the Sabres, the way forward for them. Also about the Bills and receiver ideas. Continue those two conversations for the next half an hour or so, and then we'll get Sabres pregame going with Paul Hamilton live from Tampa. 803-0550 is the number. A couple lines open now. You want to hop in? I'll make good on getting to those calls right after this. Mike is off today. I am the Bulldog, and you're listening to WGR.
If you want to see NFL receiver things, like NFL receiver routes, NFL receiver alignment, X receiver stuff, you get it from A.D. Mitchell's film, man. I mean, you really do. The fact that he then translates that to those press coverage, man coverage success rates is really important.
That is a pretty frequent guest of ours, especially at this time of the year, but really all season long and into the offseason. Matt Harmon, reception, perception, Yahoo, NFL receiver analyst, talking about A.D. Mitchell, one of the names that has been talked about certainly as a possibility for the Bills at 28, or if they feel the need to bump up a couple of spots or whatever, certainly a player that's been mocked. He might be the player who's been most frequently mocked to the Bills, barring a trade. I think if you're interested in seeing a trade up, then you're targeting Brian Thomas Jr. or one of the big three going way, way up. I think if you're staying put and you're putting a mock draft together, A.D. Mitchell is a name that you probably land on. You probably see pretty frequently. I have anyway, seen it pretty frequently. 803-0550 is the number. I am the Bulldog. Mike Schoep is out sick today. We got the Sabres coming up. Pre-game in less than half an hour. Paul Hamilton will join us live from Tampa for that as a 13th consecutive season out of the playoffs comes to an end for them with game 82 tonight in Tampa. But Bills, receiver, replacing Diggs, Sabres, doesn't seem like a coaching change is in the offing. They announced earlier today that Granato and Adams would be meeting with the media on Friday, and I just don't feel like you would have announced that if you were at all considering making a move on the coach. It feels to me like a declaration by the organization. Like, that's our coach. Come talk to him on Friday. Okay. 803-0550 is the number. Joe is first up this segment. Hi, Joe. Thank you for calling. You're on WGR.
Hey, guys.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, thank you.
I just wanted to talk over about the trade-up situation. I think that it would actually be detrimental to the Bills if we made a move or we trade up to the top 10 when you're looking at, because if we put into perspective here, what receivers in the NFL currently are worth two first-round picks and two second-round picks? There's maybe a couple, maybe Tyreek Hill is the only one that really sticks out to me. But that's exactly what we're going to have to do in order to make this move. And so I'm not totally against the idea of trading away that second-round pick that we just got for Diggs, because obviously we do need a receiver. We have a big hole that needs to be filled. But we also have lived firsthand experience. I know it's a different regime. I have more faith in Dean rather than Doug Whaley. But if we can recall, we all lived through that when we missed on Sammy Watkins. It was a big bust, and it was a big receiver draft. And so we watched all the players that Sammy was drafted with succeeding in the NFL as we made the, you know, we made the move and we missed on Sammy. So I just think that if we were to make a move, trading away that second for somebody who is maybe sticking out to you and you just want to go get him, I respect that. But even in, if you look at it too, we have glaring holes that need to be filled on defense, in my opinion. We have a few spots such as safety. I think we could use a corner. We obviously know that we need defensive line. We need depth. So to make a move like that, you're trading away, you know, three potential starters in the future, because obviously, you know, we're trading the first that we already have. But the extra first, the extra 2 seconds, if we miss on those, we're all going to be looking at it like, wow, look at all the other guys that were drafted. And here we are sitting again, missing on a wide receiver that could potentially be the three players that we need in order to get the Super Bowl ring that we've been all waiting for our entire lives.
Joe, that's very well laid out, well thought out, well presented. It is not my favorite idea. It's an idea that has grown on me, the big, bold trade-up, I mean, and parting with those assets. I had stated many times, I didn't think Diggs was movable because of the situation the Bills had found themselves in, both financially and roster-wise. I agree with you. I think they do need to replenish. They have 10 picks, though. So I don't think all 10 of those picks are making your team. So you can move some around. The problem is it's going to take the premium assets to get really high to make a move. But I think the reason the idea has grown on me is simply because I need as sure a thing as I can get. And yes, there are misses. And Watkins was one. You know what? One very, very important distinction on the Watkins trade, which I was dead set against. And I mean, I got the crap kicked out of me for weeks, if not years, because I didn't come to the party. Everyone was like, yeah, big bold move. We're going up to get Sammy Watkins. And I'm over here going, I don't have a quarterback, yo. What am I doing paying double if I don't have a quarterback? Well, the opposite couldn't be more true for the current Bills. They've got a rock star, monster, unicorn quarterback. So can I, with that in mind, just sit back? You could. He'll make anybody work. Just pick who's there at 28 and don't worry about it. Man, the idea of going to get a guy with the skill set and the plug-and-play ability that Aroma Dunze has is really intoxicating to me. It is a little bit like having a second or third drink. Like, I probably shouldn't. I'm going to regret this, but, you know, that bartender just put enough orange slice shavings in that old fashioned. I got to have another one. That's how I feel about trading up. They've got holes to fill at receiver. I know the rest of the roster. They've got holes to fill at receiver, and their quarterback is a monster. I think you add that up, and I just envision Brandon Bean going, I got to do something bold, and I'm here for it. It's not my favorite idea, but it's grown on me because of the need they created themselves. I just can't see them sitting back and just taking what comes to them to replace Stephon Diggs, ultimately. That's really what it comes down to. David is next up. Hi, David. Thank you for calling. You're on WGR.
Hey, Bulldog. Yeah, actually, the last caller kind of stole my thunder. I agree with him. I mean, would I love to get one of those top three receivers? Yes, but I do not want to see the Bills mortgage their entire draft in order to do that. I think that the receiver that they will be able to get at 28 is still going to be a very good receiver, and what I would like to see Joe Brady do with our offense is make Kincaid the feature like Kansas City does with Kelce. In fact, if I had one piece of advice to give Joe Brady, I would tell him to watch every single game film tape of Kansas City for the last 2 years and watch exactly what Andy Reid does to scheme Kelce open, because he's not that fast. He's not – I mean, Kincaid is faster than Kelce. If Kelce can get wide open like he does –
literally, it seems like, on every play. I don't see why we can't do the same thing with Kincaid. I want to see a lot more play action this year. I want to see a lot more pre-snap motion this year, and I think that we need to do that instead of, like you talked about, you know, trading away two firsts, two seconds, and then, you know, now we're in the fourth round before we're picking another player. I don't want to see them do that.
All right, David, thank you. Yeah, I mean, there's definitely merit to that. It is a steep price to pay. I feel like it's more called for than ever with the build of this team right now and the quarterback and the state of the receiver position on it. But of course, like, ideally, would you rather be able to just sit back and take a guy at 28 that you can expect the same plug and play ability out of? Yeah. I would hope that can happen. I don't know about hoping for that as a plan. That's the thing. Like, what's the plan? Is the plan to just, well, I like these two or three guys, but if they're gone, we're drafting edge, and then, oh my God, I don't even want to come in the Friday after round one if they don't come out of Thursday with a receiver. I just can't even imagine what it's going to be like around here. I will be here. Don't worry. I mean, you weren't worried anyway. I mean, whatever. If I weren't here, someone else would be in here talking. So, you know, we get by. 803-0550 is the number. Thank you for the calls. We'll hit a timeout here. Still time for you at 803-0550. Sabres and Lightning coming up at 7. Pre-game rolls in about 20 minutes with me. I'm the Bulldog. Mike is off today. This is WGR. Cool to have you with me here on this Monday afternoon. Mike is out sick today. Zach Jones at the controls. 803-0550 is the number. Sabres pregame coming up. See if we can squeeze Jeff in here before we hit the top of the hour. Hi, Jeff. Thanks for calling. You're on the air here on WGR.
Hey, Chris. Thanks for having me. How you doing?
I'm good, man. Good.
Excellent. So, I mean, if it's inevitable that Granato's coming back and it kind of feels that way, I do have two ideas that I'm really kind of bullish on.
Okay.
The first one is Jonathan Marchessault. He's a free agent, still a great player, and he's going to provide that what they were looking for out of Eric Johnson, what you couldn't get because he wasn't good anymore.
Yeah.
And I would just back the truck up for Marchessault because, yeah, he's in his 30s, but, God, he's so good. And then my other idea is figure out a way to get Travis Konecny out of Philadelphia. He's got 1 year left on his contract. He doesn't have any trade protection on that deal.
Mm-hmm.
And those are just two ideas that I had, and I'd like to hear your thoughts on them.
Okay, thank you for the call. I like Konecny a lot. I mean, only a year left. I don't know what Philadelphia's got in mind, but that would be very surprising to me if they didn't want to move forward and commit to him long-term. I mean, he's sort of right smack dab in his prime here. Very nice player. So I'd be interested. I don't know what the cost to acquire him would be or if the team really is interested in moving him, but that's a nice name. And Marchessault, I like to think the challenge in any situation with free agency is avoiding a situation where you deeply regret the contract a year or two after you signed it. See Oposo Kyle. Not everybody has to be the same. I recognize that. But little buyer beware at that age in free agency. And furthermore, the reputation of the organization right now. I mean, I talked about this a little earlier today. I think you're going to have a challenge recruiting players to come here. I feel like in the span of just 12 months, the feel-good guys like it here, guys are open to coming here, they see good vibes and everything's going the right way. I don't know, man. It's 13 years, no playoffs. I would be surprised if, you know, barring family or geographical draws, that any name free agent is like, oh yeah, you know, he's on the phone with his agent. You know, you gotta get a hold of Buffalo. I need to get to Buffalo. You see them? I need to go play for them. I don't know. It could happen. I'm not anticipating it. I think they've damaged their rep again. They just started digging out last year, and I think they're right back there again. So thank you for the call. Like hearing some names as well. Couple of items. They're both Boston related. Anybody going to hold that against me? I'm sorry. And Gronk has never been my favorite. I still like holding against him the fact that he atomic elbowed Tre'Davious White. But, you know, incredibly talented, great player in the league, ties to the area. He threw out the first pitch today at Fenway. It's Patriots Day. They got drubbed by Cleveland. But, you know, 11 a.m. start. Gronk threw out the first pitch. Guess what he did? Have you seen this, Zach?
I did not see this.
What do you think happened with Gronk's first pitch? What do you think the result? How do you think he threw the ball?
He's an athlete, so I have to assume like he had a good first pitch. But I feel like if we're talking about it, it was just bad.
It was excellent, but it wasn't a pitch. He spiked it.
Oh, he spiked it.
He spiked it.
Oh, fantastic!
He was at the rubber. He was on the mound, and he just spiked it.
I like that Gronk leans into that.
Me too.
I love it.
That's it exactly. I can be a bit of a traditionalist, whatever. I think you go to, you know, you're a Boston sports fan, you go to Fenway, or even just a baseball fan. Hey, Rob Gronkowski's throwing out the first pitch. All right, I got to see that. I think you're a 10 out of a 10 on the scale watching him spike the ball on the pitcher's mound. That's pretty good. Anybody can throw a 50-mile-an-hour ball somewhere near the plate, whatever. There's no upside. You throw it well, oh, good, well, you should have. You throw it lousy and you're 50 cent or whatever. Like, you're just you're endlessly criticized. Spike it. Beyond brand. I love it. The other Boston-related thing, well, Patriots Day, Red Sox playing at 11 a.m., it's because the marathon, that's Marathon Monday in Boston. So the Boston Marathon was today. Zdeno Chara shaved 7 minutes off his Boston Marathon time from last year. 3 hours and 30 minutes at age 47 in a 6'9 hockey player body. Listen, I'm not 6'9, I'm 6'5. I was never in the kind of shape Zdeno Chara was in. Big people running, you're just annihilating cartilage. You're just like pounding your knees into dust, is what you're doing. I know it happened to me. Chara, 3 hours and 30 minutes, and I got a listener who tracked this for me, says, according to this follower on Twitter, he's going to London to run the London Marathon this weekend too. Chara is an inspiration. I know he was big and, like, you know, mean, and, you know, booing him was a thing in lots of NHL buildings, not just this one. Man, that is impressive. Running at all at 6'9 is impressive. Doing marathons, multiple, shaving time off at, you know, in your late 40s, it's awesome. So cool. Anyway, there's a little Boston segment of the show. I liked Gronk's spike first pitch at Fenway today, and Zdeno Chara, 3 hours and 30 minutes at age 47 at 6'9 in the Boston Marathon today. That's a feat, I got to say. All right. Look, I put it off as long as I can. If I keep talking, I mean, it's going to happen. Paul's going to come in and ruin the show no matter what. He's contracted to do so. So that's the way it goes. So, you know, I have no control over it. We'll take a timeout. Paul Hamilton will join from Tampa for the final Buffalo Sabres pregame show of the season. That is straight ahead. I am the Bulldog. Mike is off today. Thanks for listening to WGR.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app. Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.